Good morning and welcome to the September 23rd, 2019 meeting of the Chelan County Public Utility District. I'd like to thank everyone for coming this morning and also remind anyone, if you have an electronic device, please take a second and make sure that the volume is turned off at this time. Today's meeting has a very light agenda, perhaps the lightest of the entire year. And so we are going to try to see if we can combine both the study session and the business session into this morning's meeting. So that would then conclude both meetings before lunch today. We welcome all public input at our meetings and remind you that these meetings are recorded. So if you'd like to address any of the topics or items or the commission, please step forward and speak into the microphone. Rebecca has her hand there. And we ask that you please state your name, your address, and limit your comments, please, to about 3 minutes. Today, we have four commissioners present. Commissioner Smith is on excused absence. We also have a bit of a shakeup this morning with our general manager, as Justin Erickson is sitting in for General Manager Commissioner Steve Wright. Eric Walquist is here. Rebecca Garfin, Clerk of the Board, is also here. So welcome, everyone. So if you take a second, please, and I invite Stacy Knutson to come up and lead us in the salute to the flag and also in a safety moment.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hi, I'm Stace Knutson. I work in the customer service department, and I'm here to give you your safety minute. How many gardeners do we have in here?
Cool. Yeah.
Sort of, yeah. Well, I'm here to tell you that can be hazardous to your health.
Boy, howdy.
Oh, we better stop that right now.
Right. Those statistics reveal that thousands of gardeners have fallen off ladders, gotten tangled up in lawnmowers, and other unmentionables. So, here's some 10 safety tips to help you be safe in doing your gardening. Bring your common sense. Planning ahead is probably your best. Use the right tools for the job. Wear the right gear. Call in the professionals when it's a tricky job. And number two, don't forget your feet. Wear the well-fitted shoes or boots. No sandals. I have a personal experience with that one, so that's a good one. Protect your head. Eyes, nose, ears, and head. For your eyes, make sure you wear your safety goggles or glasses. They can protect you from branches, flying debris, UV rays. Your nose, wear a face mask to avoid breathing sawdust or debris. Ears, wear your earplugs when working with noisy power tools. Your head, put on a helmet or a hat with a visor. Helps with branches that you're working with overhead or blocks the sun. And number four, we're down to wear the right kind of gloves. That can help you from getting scratches, blisters, cuts, and gives you better grip. Ladders. You kind of all know about ladder safety. Make sure they're in good condition and secure. A good one to remember is don't drop your tools from a ladder. This brings you into number six, clear the decks. Make sure there's no children around, or pets below, or tripping hazards. Power tools, inspect them for damaged cords. Batteries, wear the appropriate PPE, and maybe read the manual. Burn off, check for fire bans, local regulations, permits, keep the hose handy. Chainsaws, treat them with respect. Assess if the job should be done by a professional. And probably number 10 is a good one for all of us here at the PUD. Power lines. It's not just for balloons and kites. Be mindful of your work environment. All right, there you go.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good things to remember. So this morning, commissioners, we have an agenda, consent agenda. Anything that is on the regular agenda can be moved to the consent agenda at the request of a commission member. Do I hear any such requests? Hearing none, then we will move on. Justin, the next on the agenda is strategic planning. Would you like to take that one?
Yes, sir. Thank you, and thank you, commissioners.
It was about 2 weeks ago, the last time we met, that we prepared a presentation and went through the final draft strategic plan. That has now been released. It's available on our website and has been communicated in various venues in the community. And we've started to get some feedback, although relatively limited at this point. We do have a couple of open houses scheduled, including one this Thursday, September 5th, at 6 p.m. at the CTC, and then next Monday, September 9th, at 5:30 at our Leavenworth office. So as we've, in continuation of our public education efforts, we do have a presentation for you this morning that hones in a little bit deeper on rates. So as you know, the top priorities in the strategic plan, including continuing our investments in assets and people, and seeking top quartile performance for services that are core to customer satisfaction. And we also have steps within the plan to mitigate for the risk of large rate increases into the future. And so General Manager Wright could not be with us in person, but he has prepared a presentation, and we actually recorded him giving the presentation last week. So he'll be here in spirit and on the screen, and this is about a 15-minute video. So we'll hit play unless there's any questions. All right.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Steve Wright. I'm the General Manager here at Chelan PUD. And we have recently released our draft strategic plan for 2020 to 2024. And I want to tell you a little bit about it and give you some sense of what some of the key issues are that we'll be addressing here, and particularly address something that's gotten a lot of attention, which a proposal to think about making some changes to our rates. So it's important to understand the background to this. Background at Chelan PUD really is built on the history that we have here of long-term thinking, that it took a big effort by a lot of people here to develop resources, hydropower resources, that have created a huge competitive rates advantage for us in this county. And the current PUD philosophy builds on that by thinking about the best value for the most people for the longest period of time. And that guides all of our decision making here at the PUD. And I would like so to let you know as well that we are committed to having among the lowest rates in the country going forward and strong financial resiliency. So let me just summarize what I'll be telling you. Say that first of all, the PUD is in really good financial shape. We've had some terrific years, and we're using that financial strength to reduce our debt and to invest in our assets. There are, however, some potential storm clouds on the horizon, and this plan proposes to take modest rate actions now that protects against downside risks in the future. So let's get into some details here. First of all, I think many of you know that we have very low rates here in Chelan County, but let's just put some numbers to that. Our current rates are about 3.2 cents per kilowatt hour. The Washington state average is over 9.6, and the U.S. average about 12.9. So take your bill and multiply times 3, and that's what you'd be paying on average in Washington state, and multiply times 4 for the average across the rest of the country. So that does give us a significant competitive advantage. How about the financial status of the PUD? We're really in very good shape. 2017, 2018 were our best years ever financially. We also are on track in 2019 for that to be a very good year, likely in the same range as 2017 and 2018. Our cash is at the highest level it's ever been. And our debt target, which we set in the last strategic plan, has been achieved, which was a 35% debt to equity ratio, which puts us in the top tier for any consumer-owned utility in our class. Our debt has been reduced more than $500 million, a half a billion dollars since 2010. And that's a big place of where the money has been going that we've been earning, is reducing the debt that we have. And since this is a consumer-owned utility, you can think of that as reducing the debt that all of us carry here in this county. The second place we've been investing the wealth that we've generated is in maintaining and upgrading our asset base. And of course, it's the incredible asset base here that we have that gives us this competitive rates advantage, particularly the hydro system. The 2015 strategic plan identified asset investment as a key priority for us. The 2020 to 24 plan continues that. And what has happened is we've done a lot of work to understand the state of our assets in the last 4 years. And now we are beginning to invest to be able to enhance those assets, because we found that there's a fair amount of work that needs to be done. Both our hydro system, in terms of its capability, and the reliability of our distribution system are roughly in second quartile performance nationally. And we believe, with the resources that we have, that these should be first quartile assets. I do want to assure you that all PUD assets and investments are analyzed to ensure that they create the best value for the long term, assuring that, in fact, that they are cost effective compared against alternatives. And that includes even things like facilities, like the new building that we're talking about putting together to consolidate all of our campuses across the county, as well as we are focused now on customer service technology, because a lot of you, we are discovering, want to be able to work with us on your phones or in other ways that will allow us to be able to meet your needs and meet you in the place where you like to do business. The investment in assets is resulting in an increase in expenditures, and that shouldn't be a surprise. So we know that, again, we have aging assets. They require a lot of work. The total asset base here will see an investment increase that will nearly double over the course of the next planning period. And just to put this in context, let's use our hydro system as an example. We know the hydro system is the core value that creates low rates here in Chelan County. From 2010 to 2015, we spent less than $20 million a year on our hydro system. For 2016 to 2024, we're planning to spend over three times as much, over $60 million a year, to be able to make investments that will assure that we are maintaining that long-term value of the hydro system, that we will be able to generate value for Chelan County residents long into the future. So what we've been able to do is take advantage of the fact that terrific investments were made here by our predecessors, and we want to leave the system in a place where it will continue to create competitive advantage for this county. The reason that we are doing so well is primarily due to the fact that we have substantial amounts of surplus electricity that we're able to sell other places at rate higher than what we sell it for here. Only about 20% of our power is sold here in Chelan County. And a rate of about 3.2 cents a kilowatt hour is just over half the cost of actually providing that electric service. So again, it probably costs us nearly double that amount to provide that electric service, but we're using our revenue from wholesale sales from other places to in effect subsidize electric service here. Where does that money come from? 80% of our sales are at wholesale, about 50% of our total sales come from our long-term contracts to Alcoa and Puget, and both of those are at rates higher than our retail rate. And then about 30% goes into the market and is sold at market-based rates. Recently, a contract that we signed with Microsoft to serve their campus over on the west side has generated a lot of attention here in the county, and just want to make sure that folks are clear, that is a sale that's made at a market-based rate substantially higher than what we sell at here at the retail in Chelan County. Now, the challenge with those wholesale sales is that they are based on the market, and the market does move, and so those future revenues are difficult to predict for us. This graph shows you historically where wholesale prices have been going back to 2001. Some of you may recall the West Coast energy crisis of 2001 that drove prices exceedingly high, and that was an unusual year. But you'll notice that the years between 2001 through 2010, that prices were substantially higher than what we've experienced in the last 10 years. And we've seen a lot of wind and solar resources coming into the Western power markets where we sell, and they have tended to drive down prices. And that has given us some concern about what future prices will be, how much revenue we'll be able to generate there, which again is used to subsidize our local rates. We've also noticed that there is and are tracking the amount of subsidy that's provided to our retail customers in terms of total dollars relative to the margin that we make on our wholesale sales. So how much are we generating from the wholesale sales minus the cost of providing that service? And what we're seeing is that the subsidy for retail sales is growing. That shouldn't be a surprise. We have local loads that are growing, so we're pulling sales out of the wholesale market into the retail market. And at the same time, we do have cost increases while we have not been having rate increases. And our wholesale margins have been falling as wholesale price have come down. Now, this graph shows actuals through 2019 and then forecasts what the future will be. And I always say you have to take that with a grain of salt because we're not that good about forecasting the future. But we do have a concern about whether these lines may cross in the future. The PUD strategic plan is really built around financial resiliency. And that resiliency looks at a variety of different future scenarios for us. We have an expected value case, what we might call the most likely scenario. And then we look at variations around that, including high revenues. What if the market gets really good? Or low revenues? What if the market prices were to fall substantially? Of course, if it's a high revenue scenario, everything is good. We would make a fair amount of money in those years, and those are very good times for us and for you. In the expected scenario, we expect to pull down our liquidity as we're making investments to a point where in about 2022 we would re-enter the bond market. And let me just say, we would be borrowing at that point. That is traditionally what utilities do. What we are doing today, where we cash finance all of our capital investments, is a very unusual situation. But we have the opportunity to be able to continue that for a few more years, but then we move back into a more traditional mode of borrowing. I would not call that a significant problem. It's the low revenue scenario that worries us. What happens if wholesale prices are to fall substantially, and what would we do in order to be able to manage that situation? If you compare the 2015 to 2019 strategic plan against the 2020 to 24 plan, you'll find that there's a lot of similarities. The 2015 and 19 plan focused first and foremost on reducing debt. And I mentioned earlier, we've accomplished our goal there. It also said we should begin to invest in assets and make some modest investments in public power benefit programs. The 2020 to 2024 program increases the emphasis on investing for the long term because we now understand better the state of our assets. And it continues to assume that we will reduce debt. That's our plan under the expected forecast. But it makes that less of a priority because we've already achieved our goal. And it continues to assume that we'll invest modest amounts. We've been investing about $4 million a year in the public power benefit program. Those are how we plan to handle expected and higher revenue forecast case. But we know that we could have low revenues. And in that scenario, the 2015 to 19 plan basically said, we will just assume that we will have to raise rates a lot and very quickly if we face that. This plan seeks to address that concern and says we should build some funds reserved to improve rate stability. So they're put set aside in a separate account. And at the same time, prepare for retail subsidies possibly exceeding the wholesale margin someday, although we don't know when. Now, I would note that all of these strategies assume that we will continue to seek productivity gains and wholesale revenue increases. No matter what scenario we're operating in, we are constantly striving to be able to find ways to be able to reduce our costs and increase our revenues. As part of our outreach on the strategic plan, we looked at the question of, so what happens if things go bad and what kinds of options would people like us to pursue? And one of the things that we heard very clearly was, if there is a risk of, in fact, rates having to go up, we would prefer that came in a staged rather than a very wholesale change rate. So we looked at and asked folks, if you have to choose between 3% or rate of inflation type rate increases over the next few years versus the risk of possibly hitting 10% rate increases, which would you prefer? And 3/4 of our customers said, we would prefer that you did this in a staged way, in a planned way, and avoid double-digit type rate increases. So let's just talk for a second about what it would mean to have rate of inflation type rate increases around here. Our current rates, as we noted earlier, about 3.2 cents per kilowatt hour. That would increase to 3.7 cents, as you saw from the earlier graph, still substantially below the 9.7 cent statewide average. And that would occur even at the end of the five-year period by around 2024. 3% annually translates for an average monthly bill around here, which is about $55 a month, would add about $9 a month, move to about $64 a month in 2024. Let's put that in context in terms against what the statewide average would be. Today, if you're a Chelan PUD customer, you're saving about $1,350. Yes, that's right, $1,350 compared against if you were buying the same amount of electricity at the statewide average rate. In 2024, because we would anticipate that other utilities rates will be increasing as well, that differential, the benefit that you get by being a Chelan PUD customer, would increase to $1,450, even assuming that we were putting in place rate of inflation type rate increases. One of the things that we've heard from customers through time has been a concern about a threat to local control. We've heard this in the last strategic plan, we heard it in this strategic plan. those folks would say, we're worried that the differential between our rates and others will cause others to have what would be called political envy, shall we say, that the value that we've got is too much and others should come in and be able to capture some of that. Currently, the statewide average rate is about 9.7 cents in 2017. It was 8.5 cents when we put the last strategic plan together. So it's increased substantially. And of course, we haven't had rate increases for 8 years here, so the Chelan rates have stayed at 3.2 cents a kilowatt hour. Back in 2014, the Wenatchee World included editorial comment that said it may well be in the best interest of the utility to consider modest incremental rate increases over time, coupled with strategic investments to prove the wisdom of our stewardship of this resource. We face the similar types of concerns today. So let me wrap this up and just say, the PUD is financially healthy. We're in very good shape. The rate increases that are proposed in this strategic plan are not because there is an immediate need, but rather because they are prudent from a long-term planning perspective. And we heard that a lot from our customers during the planning process. Inflation level rate increases allow us to provide greater predictability, particularly in low revenue forecast scenarios. And they begin to address the potential looming retail subsidy versus wholesale margin issue that I described earlier. And of course, it also protects against the threat to local control. With that, that's what I really wanted to share with you today. I want to thank our customers. They've done a tremendous job. We've had incredible engagement from customers throughout this strategic planning process. We've heard a lot from them. We encourage you to stay engaged with us, and we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for your time today.
So we will have this video available at the open houses as well, so be an opportunity for the public to see this and do a deeper dive on rates if that's their particular reason for attending or something that they want to look at in greater detail. Just also wanted to conclude by kind of wrapping this up in terms of where we're headed with public comments in this process. So we've had the plan available for about 2 weeks. We'll have it available for two additional weeks now in terms of the time period where we're really heavily soliciting public feedback and comments. We've asked the public to respond by September 11th, Wednesday, September 11th, if possible. Of course, public can always comment here at your public meetings and at other opportunities, but we want to be able to collate the comments that we have and be able to present those to you at your next meeting on September 16th. At that meeting, then, we would present those to you, address any comments or feedback that we have from the board. We would not ask you to consider adopting the strategic plan on that date, but would then make any changes as so directed and have the plan to you at your first meeting in October, October 7th.
Justin, is the video, which I appreciate the video, very clear, great message, will that be on our website as well?
It is currently not on our website. We anticipated holding the first open house and then making it publicly available on our website. So I would say by late this week it will be, yes, sir.
So Justin, same comment. I appreciate this. This is going to be really helpful, I think, this video. I think that Steve answered, I think he answered really clearly some of the questions that we've received from customers. So again, yeah, it will be available after the public meetings on the website.
Funny, Commissioner. Normally, they try to unplug mine before the meeting.
Anyway,
that's right.
Yeah. So I think it's important to have this available because this really does answer some of the questions that our customers are asking. It just takes, you know, it takes a little more education, I think, and a little more background for our customers to understand the big picture. So well done. I appreciate it.
Excellent. We appreciate the feedback, and we wanted to have an opportunity to preview it with you first, of course, before we made it publicly available. So based on the feedback received, let's see if we can't get that out even earlier.
Can we make reference? Well, I'll wait and hear and see. I was going to say when I respond to some of our customers' comments, can we refer them to that? But I'll wait until we know. when it's available.
What I'll do is I'll notify the board when it's available and send you a link so that you can easily forward that to customer owners.
That'd be perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to just chime in and say that I really appreciate the video and its ability to explain in a very simple and easy understanding way that the efforts here at the district are to seek efficiencies and reduce cost, modernize the equipment that we have, pay down debt, and at the same time, we're looking for into the future, and we're looking at revenue streams. And while it may be bright and sunny today, there very well could be storm clouds on the future that would affect our wholesale. And if there's one slide that really brought it home for me, it was on our slide number 11, which is retail subsidies versus wholesale margin. Understanding first and grasping, and this is Commissioner Congdon, I think maybe one of the things that you were referring to is understanding the fact that we do provide a discount to the actual cost of producing power, that wholesale discount rate to the members of the community. And we pay for that based on our sales that we make out in the wholesale market. And while those wholesale markets are falling in value, the retail price or the price that we're receiving has been declining, our cost of delivering that retail product has been climbing. So the two, there's a divergence that is going on. And I really appreciate the video, the fact that it makes that clear and understandable. So very nice job.
Yeah, it introduces a volatility that's out of our control, somewhat out of our control. So we really need to help our customers understand that.
Yeah.
So it's just, further education and outreach to them, I think. But good job. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So looking at the agenda, we do not have any consent issues, so we're going to move right on into the regular agenda. And Justin, would you like to take that?
We still need to approve the consent agenda. Yeah.
Even though there's nothing on the consent agenda?
So there is the minutes, the vouchers.
I'm sorry. You are absolutely correct. So, commissioners, we have a consent agenda in front of us.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, the motion is carried. Thank you. Now we will move to the regular agenda. Thank you.
It's nice that people have payroll.
Thank you, Mr. Bolt. Commissioner Bolt, I'm sorry.
Agenda item number 7, a resolution authorizing the district to become a member of the Northwest Energy Efficiency Alliance for 2020 to 2024. And Andrew Grisseau will present.
Thanks. Good morning. I appreciate the payroll, too.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry about that, Andrew.
It's one of the reasons for getting up and going to work.
Thank you. Andrew Grisseau, I manage our Customer Energy Solutions Group, and I'm here to request the board's consideration for funding NEA for the 2020 to 2024 time period. So just a quick review of what NEA is and what it does. One, we've been a member since around 2012, 2013, somewhere in there. And so this is more of a re-membership, so to speak, a renewal of a membership. And so NEA is an organization. It's funded by other Northwest utilities market transformation activities for energy efficient products and services. So the goal of market transformation is to bring new energy efficient products and services to customers more quickly and more cost effectively than if it were left to the market alone. And this is accomplished a number of ways, mostly by identifying barriers in the marketplace and then designing and implementing what are called intervening strategies and tactics to overcome those identified barriers. If something's too expensive, NEA can go upstream to market participants and say, we'll provide incentives to you if you add these things to help get the market moving in a certain direction, grab momentum, and then that momentum will pull off and will pull those products into the market itself. And so it does it more quickly. And by coming together to fund NEA, Northwest utilities are able to spread some of that risk around. They're also able to engage with market actors further upstream in the supply chain, way more than any one utility can do by itself. And so what we're asking for over the next 5 years is about $1.6 million, almost $1.7 million for 5 years for energy efficiency savings. Their total budget is about $160 million. So bring all those utilities together can really move manufacturers within our northwest area. And so NEA has been one of the district's most cost-effective programs. It's usually in the top five of our programs that we have as far as from a benefit cost standpoint. Looking forward for the 2020 to 2024 time period, NEA staff forecasts the organization to provide us, the district, with about 1.2 average megawatts of savings over the next 5 years for a total cost of about $1.66 million. And this investment is expected to bring the district a benefit cost ratio of almost 3. And so a very good benefit cost ratio for what we're spending. And with that, I would ask for any questions.
Commissioners, any questions?
Those are just great numbers.
And I'll just add one more thing to it. It's a great thing because what it does is it provides a savings in two different time periods. One, we're getting savings right now. That helps with our compliance. That helps with our, you know, getting savings right now. But it really feeds that pipeline down 5, 10, 15 years down the road to continue bringing those things into the marketplace. And so it helps us in the long term as well as it helps us today.
Good program. Thank you. And thank you for your explanation on how they affect the market.
Yeah, you're welcome. That. Yeah, you bet. Yeah.
So, all right, great. Thank you.
Okay, agenda item number 8, a resolution authorizing the general manager to enter into a reimbursable agreement number 19-10363 with Bonneville Power Administration for design and construction activities associated with the installation of a remedial action scheme at Valhalla and Columbia substations.
Good morning, commissioners.
Morning.
I'm Steve Wickel, transmission engineering manager. As was stated, this is a resolution to sign an agreement. It's a design and construction agreement with Bonneville Power Administration for this remedial action scheme. When Alcoa load idled, all that power had to export somewhere, and most of it actually exports on a couple of BPA-owned lines from Valhalla switchyard down near Alcoa to BPA's Columbia switchyard. We went in on an agreement with Columbia Grid to do a study. They're our regional planning group. They did a study to determine what is the best mitigation option for these overloaded lines on BPA's facilities. The reason we at Chelan PUD care about that is oftentimes it's really our Rock Island generation that gets reduced to mitigate for the thermal overload. So that's why Chelan PUD has a vested interest in this solution. So they did this study and came up with this remedial action scheme, which is really just an automatic scheme. Senses conditions on the system and will remove lines automatically instead of us having to actually reduce gen pre-contingent to certain scenarios on the system. So BPA will design and construct and own and operate the system or this scheme, but we're going to pay for the design and construction of that since it's our generation that would actually be impacted the most. So this resolution is to go in on an agreement for that, $690,000.
Commissioners, questions?
Probably a dumb question. Are we talking about software or actual physical?
It's a physical control scheme that senses current and configuration of transmission lines, does some calculations, and then will automatically open up transmission lines if certain conditions are met. So it's a mixture of electronics and software.
Software. So do we have that in other places? We must.
Well, we don't. So the BPA, the gen reduction scheme that we're no longer part of with our with BPA, we backed out of that agreement. If you were familiar with that, that was a big wide area remedial action scheme that they would, you know, automatically drop our generation if there was a lot of load lost, perhaps in California or elsewhere on the system. So we don't have any more of these schemes, but they are very common in the industry.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain to a layman if that gate opens and the power does not go to the BPA system, what happens to it?
Well, so right now what it'll do is actually so there's a breaker that opens up. So we have a McKinsey switchyard and a Valhalla switchyard, and all of our Rock Island Powerhouse 1 generation and half of our Powerhouse 2 generation goes to McKinsey, goes across this tie, and then to Valhalla, and then goes on these two transmission lines. Right now, there's a manual action that we open up this tiebreaker there, and that forces a lot of that generation then up onto our system. We have four transmission lines that are our transmission lines that go up into Wenatchee, and a lot of that goes up to Rocky Reach and then back down south to export. And this, so we have to do that pre-contingent, it's called. So an actual event didn't occur yet, but if it did, it would overload these lines, and so they make us reduce the generation, even though the problem hasn't occurred. And this will allow the system to sense that automatically. We don't have to reduce any generation pre-contingent. And in the very rare event that this system condition occurs, the scheme would automatically open up that breaker and allow for the relief on those lines. So it's really just taking, it's a system event that we don't have to mitigate for pre-contingent, which happens every summer. It's a heavy summer condition when the lines don't have as much capacity on them. And so when the temperature rises, we have to oftentimes reduce gen or at least open up this other breaker to mitigate for that. And then that kind of pieces the system apart. You want to have the transmission system as intact as you can. And when you start opening breakers and having to do things pre-contingent, now you have even less operability of your system. So this is a better deal for that.
Good.
Sounds like where we should be in today's, you know, with today's technology.
Right.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Great. Commissioners, any other questions?
Another layman's question.
Yeah.
the BPA switchyard that you were speaking about, the closest one to us is where?
Well, so this, right outside of Alcoa, there's a McKenzie switchyard that we own, and literally right next door, in the same big fence, is a BPA switchyard. And we purchased part of that switchyard to serve Alcoa back in 2011, 2012. We did a big project to, we actually purchased these big transformers so that they were purchasing power directly from us rather than from Bonneville. So these two yards are right there. And then down past Rock Island is BPA's Columbia switchyard. And that's a 115 and a 230 kV switchyard. And that's where this power is actually going to, on two lines that leave near Alcoa at their Valhalla switchyard and go past Rock Island to a Columbia switchyard.
I think it would be frightening to know what you think about at 2 in the morning.
Right.
I'm listening to this whole mixture, and I'm going, man, if you have a nightmare, it is really a nightmare.
Right. I hope I didn't get too technical. I apologize.
Yeah.
If I did.
So, no, thanks for doing what you do.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, and for you taking the time to explain to us novices how that functions and give us the opportunity to weigh in. So thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, agenda item number 9 is your final resolution this morning. It would amend the approved purchase price for the purchase of real property from the Nevio and Elizabeth Tantini Living Trust and authorize the general manager or his designee to complete the transaction. And Dan is with us this morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Dan Frazier, Director of Shared Services. As Justin indicated, this is an amendment. This resolution amends the previous resolution. The key note here is that the actual purchase price in the purchase and sale agreement was for a unit cost. It was per square foot. When I assembled the resolution for the last meeting, I didn't refer to it in that way and put the arrived at purchase price based on the known square footage. Since then, we had a resurvey of the property. The square footage increased by about 5,000 square feet, and thus the amount in the resolution was incorrect for the purchase. But the agreed price of $9.25 per square foot in the purchase and sale agreement remains the same.
I'm sorry, how much per square foot?
$9.25.
Thank you.
So we are set to close on this actually this week if this resolution does indeed pass, and we'll be moving forward with the continued development of that site.
So, Commissioners, I just want to say that I apologize for this. Normally, this is something that probably both Dan and I would catch when we have those purchase and sale agreements. It's not uncommon to have on a unit price contract. We just, instead of allowing ourselves the flexibility for a change in square footage, particularly when we know and we're contemplating an additional survey, we just simply didn't draft ourselves the flexibility, which is why we're here doing what we try to avoid doing, which is come back and amend resolutions of the board. So.
Commissioners, any questions, comments? I would say the good news is that we're getting more property than we originally thought we were getting, which is the positive side of looking at the resolution. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
I would like to move acceptance of items 7, 8, and 9 on the agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Do we have any questions, comments, discussion, commissioners? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. The ayes have it. Carries. Okay.
Okay. Agenda item 10 is manager items. Actually, do not have any manager items this morning.
No manager items. Well, then that leads us to commissioner items. Commissioners, do we have any items to discuss?
No. I was just communicating with Kelly.
Oh. Okay. Hearing no commissioner items. Next up is commissioner travel. And here comes Lisa. Our trusty Lisa.
Morning. It's early.
It is early.
I am Lisa Sanders, admin and legal, and your trusty travel helper. We have coming up Commissioner Congdon traveling to Montana for NWPPA, and then returning her. Commissioner Congdon and McKenna will be attending a public meeting in Stehekin. September Waputa meetings in Suquamish. Commissioners Arsenault, Bowles, and Smith have hotel reservations and are all registered. Do we have any changes there?
No.
Okay. Commissioners Bowles and Commissioner Smith isn't online, is he?
No, he's not.
Are you returning on the 21st?
Am I doing what on the 21st?
Returning on the 21st?
That would be Friday. Yes.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, I think that's Saturday.
That's actually Saturday.
That's actually Saturday.
Oh, okay. No, I will not be returning on the 21st. I should be back
so the 20th?
One day earlier. Yeah.
Okay. So I need to change that.
Yeah, good catch.
Hey, thank you.
Lisa, I would suggest that you send Commissioner Smith an email. I think he's getting an email, and ask him that same question.
Okay, that's a good idea. Okay. Commissioner Congdon, water workshop in Leavenworth. Do you need a hotel?
I booked a one night at the Hampton Inn.
So you're okay?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Do you need to register? Is there a registration?
I guess I assumed I was registered. Maybe we should check
I'll
on
look
that.
For that.
Yeah, thank okay. you.
And October, Waputa Budget Committee, just Commissioner Smith. Commissioner Arsenault, were you?
I will be attending that as well.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
So I will book you a hotel. Do you want to check in the 16th and out the 17th?
That would be fine. You bet. Okay. Thank you very much.
November Waputa meetings in Olympia. I have everyone attending but Commissioner Congdon. Does that still seem right? Okay. Commissioner Arsenault, November, the Cybersecurity Summit in Nashville.
Yes.
Looks like we have everything set there. Airfare, hotel, registration. Good. And just the annual conference in December at the Heathman Lodge. And I still need to make some hotel reservations for that.
Okay. Good. Commissioners?
Okay. Lisa, what is the PUD Muni Attorneys Group note on that one? The December 4th to 6th, the annual conference, there's a bullet that says there's, is that indicate a presentation or does that indicate there's a?
I just copied that out of something that was posted.
I'll follow up.
I don't know what that was.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No problem.
I did have one question. And that was on the last page. You're now including a commissioner expense report returned.
Yes.
What is that?
So when you sign the original expense report,
okay,
and return it and I give it to accounts payable, we're now tracking to make sure that all of these are received and that we have them in our records so that when we're audited, that we have all of those records on file.
Okay.
We were not tracking those previously.
I see. Okay. All right. Thank you. I saw that and I wanted to make sure that I complied, but I wasn't sure what I was going to comply with.
She'll let you know if you aren't.
Yeah.
That's how it's worked in our relationship.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Moving on. And we are making tremendous time here. The follow-up of delegation items.
Yes, and I'll definitely try to keep us moving. So we had two items from the 819 meeting. Andy Wendell was going to share the agenda for outreach in Stehekin, and that email did go out to the board on 819. So if you haven't received that, please let me know. And then the second item was a question about our ability to definitively measure phosphorus once the new wastewater system is installed in Peshastin. And we are, Ron Slaybaugh is still doing some work on that. So we will update the board soon on that outstanding question.
So, Justin, may I jump in here?
Yes.
Yes, I remember that. So our question was, I just want to make sure we're asking him the right question. Would you state it again how the question is going to Ron Slaybaugh?
So this is written fairly generically, and so I think it's been conveyed to him in a more detailed way. And I don't have that information, but I'd be happy to follow up with you and kind of clarify what we've asked him. And
yeah, so how did you state it? Just so I use that for a baseline.
I stated it that the question being, in essence, will we be able to definitively measure phosphorus once the project is complete?
Yeah, which I mean, I think we already know the answer to that. But yeah, that's a broad general. I mean, we won't be able to because of the non-point sources.
Right.
So, and again, as part of that, hopefully as part of that, if we make a large investment and do what has been mandated that we do to try to bring down the percentage and there's no change, then what? From ecology's point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't.
We've made the investment, but there's been no significant change in the amount of, you know, in that MT in the levels.
Okay, yeah. So, if it's okay with you, I'll take that as another action item that we'll just make sure that when we respond to that question that we dig deeper to your question is so
okay.
What if
we
don't hit the objectives that we think we're gonna hit, and mm-hmm. what how does that impact our standing with ecology?
Yeah, I wanted to mention it so it's on the record publicly.
Okay.
I am going to be meeting with Ron Slaybaugh because I have some of those questions that I want to talk to him about before we meet. Steve and Randy and I are going to meet with him. But yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks.
Commissioner Congdon, let me say that I really appreciate you bird dogging that topic because I'm very concerned as well that with a non-point source that we could spend a great deal of money and effort and time and still not achieve the numbers that BPA wants us to achieve simply because it's not from us. So thank you.
It's 99% removal.
Right. Thank you very much for your efforts
on
that.
Yeah, sure. Ron Slaybaugh, thank Ron. But we'll keep working on it.
And that brings us to delegation items from today.
Okay, from today we have that I will notify the commission when the rates video is available, and I will send you that link. So look for that this week for sure. And then number two, Lisa Sanders will clarify September Waputo Conference return date with Commissioner Smith.
Great.
And then, of course, the conversation we just had about adding to the previous question on phosphorus.
Okay. I don't see any public, although this is an opportunity for public comment. There will not be any today since we have not public in attendance. We do have a need for a short executive session to discuss with legal counsel agency enforcement action litigation, potential litigation to which the district or its board is or is likely to become a party and or legal risk as authorized by RCW.
So we will need about, let's say 30 minutes. It should be substantially less than that.
Okay. So for 30 minutes. Thank you. So do we need a short break? Does anyone need just a few minutes? No? No? We're good?
That might be good.
About three, five minutes? We'll take a short five-minute break, and then we'll go into executive session.
Start at 11.
Start at 11 o'clock. We are coming out of executive session. It is September 3rd, 2019. No decisions were made. No votes were taken. Is there any additional business to come before the commission? Hearing none, we shall stand adjourned.